Baltimore area.
Hey, family, I'm an addict named Cindy.
Hey, Cindy.
Better? Okay. First and foremost, I want to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to be here. Whew. If you're new, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. If this is your first convention, or if you've been away for a while and you've come back, I hope that you have put your seatbelt on and you are enjoying the ride. And if you do not hear anything here over the entire weekend, I hope that you hear that you never, ever, ever have to use again. I know the topic is the triangle of self-obsession. But I want to take a moment and I want to talk to the newcomer for a minute. Because when I got here, I didn't know anything about a triangle. I didn't know anything about self-obsession. I didn't know anything about anger, fear, resentment. I didn't know anything about our language. So I need to let the newcomer know that I did not get here looking like this, feeling like this, talking like this, walking like this, or smelling like this. I used to live and I lived to use, and when I wasn't using, I was finding means and ways to use. I am the addict that will steal from you and then help you look for it. I am the addict that when I put one in me, I can't enjoy the one that is in me because I'm too worried about when I put it in me, when is the next one gonna come from? I am the addict that goes to any length, to do what I got to do to get a bag of dope. And at the end of the road, I didn't come into the program of Narcotics Anonymous brimming with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I am the addict that did not hit a bottom, I lived on the bottom. My bottom was not that I became hopeless, homeless, jobless, penniless. I lost my car, I lost my home, I lost my job, I lost my family, I lost my friends, I lost my children. My bottom was that I lost myself, right? My bottom was that at the end of the road, I didn't like you because I didn't like me. I didn't trust you because I didn't trust me. And at the end of the road, I could no longer stand to be in my own skin. I used because I did not like or love myself very much. My bottom was that I wanted to die, but I did not have enough courage to kill my fucking self. So I didn't come here brimming with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I came here with a lot of resentment and a lot of anger and a lot of fear. I came here broken. I came here beaten. I came here this scared little girl. So the pamphlet talks about there's a negative side of the triangle, and there's a positive side of the triangle. And the negative side is the resentment, and it's the anger, and it's the fear. And the positive side are the spiritual principles that are the opposite of the negative side of the triangle. And the resentment goes along with acceptance. And anger goes along with love. And fear goes along with faith. And the pamphlet also talks about the past and the present and the future. And what I know and what I have learned is that when I live in resentment, I am locked and loaded in the past. Because what happens for me is I become self-obsessed. I become consumed over a person, place, or thing, or event that I continue to relive over and over and over and over in my mind that I cannot let go of. And what I've learned about resentments, I don't know, some people say, and I've heard it said, a resentment is like pissing on yourself. You're the only one that feels it, right? I've heard it said that a resentment is like masturbation. You're the only one getting fucked. I don't know if I agree. Because when this addict is angry and resentful, other people are going to feel it. So I have learned that when I live in anger, I am living in the present. And anger is not my shortcoming. The anger is the emotion that I use when a person, place, or thing does not live up to my demand. The shortcoming comes into play as opposed to how I act on the anger. And what I've learned about myself through step work is that anger is the emotion that I am in touch with the most. Sadness is the emotion that I am the least in touch with. And people who know me know this about me. So when I am living in fear, I am locked and loaded in the present or in the future, right? Because what happens for me is when I am living in fear, I become so locked and loaded that it paralyzes me, right? So if I am not having trust and faith in the program of Narcotics Anonymous and the God of my understanding, and if I am not believing in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery, I become so locked and loaded and paralyzed in fear, I can't move. So the pamphlet says that when we were born, we are self-centered. The world revolves around us. It's supposed to. But something is supposed to happen along the way. Somewhere along the line, I am supposed to grow out of the self-centeredness and thinking that the world revolves around me. It says, for most people, growing up is a natural process. As addicts, however, we seem to falter along the way. We never seem to outgrow the self-centeredness of a child. We never seem to find self-sufficiency that others do. We continue to depend on the world around us and refuse to accept that we will not be given everything. We become self-obsessed. Our wants and needs become our demands. And here's the hit. We reach a point where contentment and fulfillment are impossible. Who? People, places, and things cannot possibly fill the emptiness inside of us. We react to them with resentment, anger, and fear. And all three of these are expressions of our self-obsession. So what is self-obsession? Webster says, a self-obsessed individual is someone who just can't help but to think and talk about themselves. Hey. So I'm thinking about, like, you know, I was thinking the other day, like, when did all this begin for me? All this anger, fear, and resentment, right? And as far back as I can remember, I've always had it. I've always grown up resentful and angry and fearful. I remember being a little girl, right? All this was directed towards my parents. My parents used, and they are abusive. I remember sitting on the front step of the apartment complex, and they would scream so loud, and my father would beat my mother so bad it would make my fucking insides tremble. And people would walk by, and I used to be pissed, and I would be embarrassed, and I would be angry. And I acted like I didn't know them. Because, see, I wanted to be anybody than who I was. I wanted to be anywhere than where I was. I wanted to be you. I wanted to be her. I wanted to look like her. I wanted to live in her house. I wanted to have your parents. All that. I was angry when I was 11 years old and my parents split up. I was angry that I grew up without my father. I was angry that I grew up with a single mother who was verbally and physically and mentally and emotionally abusive. And the last thing I remembered about my father when I was a child was he went out back and he tied a punching bag to the tree to teach me how to box. I come from a large Italian family. My father's Italian. He used to be a boxer. He wanted to teach me how to box. But when he left, and it was me and my mother was abusive. There was something about, you know, when you're caught up in anger, fear, and resentment, I'm trapped. The triangle is a vicious cycle that I just can't get out of overnight. I didn't become addicted in one night. I didn't recover in one night. Everything for me in recovery has been a process, right? I was angry when I was 13 and my mother said to me, whatever you do, don't you ever depend on no man for nothing. As a matter of fact, don't depend on me either. You want to put them Jordache jeans on your fucking ass, go get a job. So if we talk about being born with the world revolving around us and being self-centered because that's the way it's supposed to be, where was my fucking turn? When did I have a chance for it to be all about me? So I was angry that my childhood was taken away from me. That I wasn't allowed to be a child. I wasn't allowed to be a little girl. I had to grow up so fast. I lived in constant fear. I lived in constant fear because, you know, the old saying, don't cry over spilled milk. But if I spilled milk, I got my ass beat. So like I said, all of this was like a process for me, right? And I need to tell y'all that, like, things between my mother and I have gotten a lot better as a result of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. This process happened as a result of me staying clean. It happened as a result of a God of my understanding. It happened as a result of me working with a sponsor. It happened as a result of me doing step work. I thank God for the program of Narcotics Anonymous and the people in it who gave me something that I never had. It was a voice. So even in recovery, right, I spent all my life trying to make my mother happy. I spent all my life seeking her approval. No matter what I did, no matter what I said, it was never good enough. I'm talking about years clean. It was never good enough. When I use, didn't work. Dropped out of high school, didn't work. Got clean, didn't work. Went to college, got degrees, didn't work. And then something happened. And I don't know exactly when it happened, but it happened. Right? And I'm talking about the journey of breaking the cycle of the triangle of self-obsession. Right? Because I was taught, y'all told me, Cindy, stand for something or fall for anything. So I had to take baby steps. And I remember being on the phone, and sometimes I would get the courage to say, you know, as I got older and I got clean and came into recovery, even at 10 years clean, I was still being verbally abused. And I remember getting enough courage every now and then, and I would be on the phone and I would say, you know what, I love you, but that behavior is unacceptable and you can't talk to me like that anymore. Click up. I was on a good day. Let me have a fucking bad day. Then I would bite back, or so my sponsor would say. I took the bait, right? And we'd be at each other's throat again. So it was a process. It took time. My mother is Italian and she's prejudiced. Around 11 years clean, I made a decision to date somebody outside of my race. My mother made a decision to disown me. So I'm an only child. It was probably the hardest 2 years in my recovery. 2 years. We didn't speak a word. It's pretty bad when your birthday comes, holidays come. I got nothing. Not even a phone call. It's pretty bad when you walk in a store and your mother looks at you and she turns around and walks the other way because she doesn't even know who you are. It was Mother's Day. I called her up. We went out to get a bite to eat. Afterwards, we had sat, we talked. I'm talking about, I don't know about anybody else, but I serve an awesome God. And it's something about the program of Narcotics Anonymous that does miraculous things in our lives, right? But how good is God and the program of Narcotics Anonymous when miraculous things start to happen in the lives of our parents and our children and our families as a result of me staying clean and the work that I'm doing? And so my mother said to me, you know what? I love you. And as long as you're happy, that's all that matters. Right? And so for the first time in my life, I cut the umbilical cord. For the first time in my life, I knew what it meant to not have to seek approval from nobody but me and God. For the first time in my life, I had a voice. I stood up. I said, I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if you don't accept it. I don't care if you don't approve of it. It's about me. And this is what I want to do because I like it and it makes me happy. Let me get some water, please. So I want to touch on something else, you know. When I first got clean, I took all the suggestions that were given to me, except one. Y'all know what that is. It says relationships can be a terribly painful area. But I gotta say this though, right? Thank God for the relationships today. Thank God for the relationship with God. Thank God for the relationship with the women in my life and even the men in my life. Thank God for the relationship with my sponsor. Thank God for the relationship with my sponsees. Thank God for the relationships of the people that I have in Narcotics Anonymous. So I had 2 weeks clean. He He thought I had six. That's a lie. He wanted me to do a meeting in some prison. I was like, I ain't got enough time. I was living in a recovery house at the time. I moved out when I had 6 months clean, and I moved in with him. He had a couple years clean. He decided he didn't need to go to meetings anymore, and he didn't need the program of Narcotics Anonymous, and as a result, he used. I made a decision to stay with him while he used. He got clean again. He went on a 4-year run. I made a decision to stay with him on a 4-year run. He got clean again. He used again. Right around when I had 10 years clean, I made a decision to do something different because I found myself backed up in a corner that I didn't think that I was coming out of clean. Right? And when I was using, I said I'd be willing to go to any length to do what I had to do to get a bag of dope. And when I got clean, I said I'd be willing to go to any length to do what I have to do to stay clean. No matter what it is, you got to go, you got to fucking go. I don't know about anybody else. My clean time means something to me. But look, I got to tell you that journey, anger, fear, and resentment, I was pissed. But here was the hard part. The hard part was I was so focused on his shit and what he was doing that I was incapable of getting in touch with my own shit. Somewhere along the line, it became a struggle to take a look at him as a using addict. I needed to stop looking at him like he was my husband and start looking at him like he was a using addict. Forgiveness is a healing process within. But in order for me to forgive anybody else, I got to forgive myself first. So I learned how to forgive myself, and as a result of that, I learned how to forgive him. And through forgiveness, I was able to practice some acceptance and be able to let go of some stuff. And as a result of being able to practice some acceptance, I was able to let go of the resentment. And as a result of being able to let go of the resentment, I was able to let go of the anger. And as a result of being able to let go of the anger, some other things came into play because I was then able to practice some other spiritual principles like love and compassion and empathy. And here came the big hit. I prayed for him. I walked away from my marriage after 10 years. We were together for 10 years. We were married for 5. I walked away from that relationship after 10 years. I got a divorce. I never looked back. About 5 years went by. He called me this past Christmas. He asked me for help. I put him in a treatment center, but he wasn't ready. Treatment works. People say treatment don't work, Narcotics Anonymous don't work, bullshit. People don't work. Ain't nothing wrong with treatment. Ain't nothing wrong with the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I've even heard it said that the program of Narcotics Anonymous is perfect, but the fellowship's fucked up. I don't know about anybody else, not my fellowship. Right? People have carried me. People have loved me until I could learn how to love myself. That's what y'all taught me to do. So he wasn't ready. So the next phone call that came, he's in prison. God answered my prayer. Right? If you're new and you're in this meeting, you may not know it or understand it, but God's answered your prayer. So when his mother calls, because she needs somebody to talk to, I listen. And when he calls from prison and he says, you think maybe you could visit and bring some Narcotics Anonymous literature? I show up. I don't ever know who God's going to use. I just may be the vehicle. So one other thing I want to touch on, right? I lived in a lot of anger, fear, and resentment where my finances were concerned. I used to be so financially fucked up, right? Unmanageable. I've gotten a lot better, y'all. I'm still working on it, but I'm so, look, I'm a lot better than I used to be. I know I'm not as good as I'm going to get. But one of the fears that I had lived in for so long, right? I used to be locked and loaded in fear so bad. Because what I was always afraid of was that I could never make it on my own. Financial fear used to paralyze me to the point where I would stay in relationships way past the expiration date. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And that's been a journey for me too, right? Because when I left my husband, I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. I felt like a fucking newcomer all over again with a green garbage bag. I left the house on the water. I left the cars. I left the motorcycles. I left the jet skis. I left the boat. I left it all. Money, property, and prestige will divert you from your primary purpose. Sometimes, look, I don't know about anybody else, but I serve a God that loves me so much that sometimes he gets me in touch with some stuff, takes some stuff just to draw me closer to him. I didn't know where I was going, right? So I went, moved in with my father. I lived in his basement for a couple months. Moved out, got my own place, you know, on and on and on. And I've been able to, like, overcome that fear. But I used to be so angry towards myself because of my own unmanageability, right? And I used to be resentful towards other people because other people who knew me would call me out on my shit, and then I'd get pissed off at them because they told me the truth. I was resentful towards the repo man. Look, check this out. Thank God for the experience member, right? Thank God for my predecessor. Thank God for the addict that went to a meeting, came in, sat on the front row, and shared honestly about where they were at and what they were going through, because what you did was you gave me hope. And you let me know that I was not alone. I used to judge. I would say, he's got 20 years clean and got his car repoed. Shit. What kind of programs he working? Till I got double-digit clean time and got my car repoed, right? Look, I couldn't even Dauphine the shit, right? But it was all about the outside. I had a nice-ass car, but I looked good. I looked good. It was the same thing when I was using, right? I was 80 pounds. This was black. This was gray. Something was wrong with y'all. You couldn't tell me I wasn't fat to death and cute as shit. You had the problem, not me. So I couldn't even Dauphine that shit, right? My girlfriend Tammy says, just take it on over to my house, right? And park it in my backyard. The house that just got fucking foreclosed. I know. So a couple days went by. I went back to get the car. It was gone. I called her up. I said, the car is gone. They found it. She said, no, you parked it in the wrong yard. I know. You know what, y'all? I have a house. I have a car that's paid for. And you know what? I ain't got a whole lot, but what I got is mine. That's right. Right? Spiritual experience cannot be bought or sold.
That's right.
Okay. I am very, very grateful. And even outside, you know, of the things that I've been able to overcome, and the anger and the fear and the resentment, and being able to get to a place where I'm able to practice some love and acceptance and have faith and all of that. Like, I just keep things real simple, right? I stick to the basics. I always say, if I don't ever get disconnected, I ain't got to get reconnected, right? I stay connected to stay protected. And I don't forget about the small stuff. I say it all the time. When I leave, I know I'm going home and I'm going to slide in clean sheets. And when I get up tomorrow morning, I'm going to slide into a shower. And then I'm going to brush my teeth with something that is an actual toothbrush. Right? And then I'm going to shit in something that really flushes. Because baths and food were no longer a part of my story. Right? I thank God for God. I thank God for the people and the fellowship, and I thank God for the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Man, look, if you are trapped in the triangle of self-obsession, hold on. There is hope. It doesn't happen overnight, but it happens. Okay? My faith has gotten to the point where once upon a time, I would be in a hallway. Look, I'm telling you, I've been in many, 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 many hallways since I've been here. And a hallway is a very, very dark place to be. I never believed that there was light at the end of the tunnel. Y'all told me there was. Y'all told me, Cindy, no matter what, just don't use, keep coming back and don't ever give up. 5 minutes before the miracle. Right? My faith has grown so much. I got trust and faith in God and the program of Narcotics Anonymous today that I don't give a shit how dark the hallway gets. I know that the light is at the end of the hallway. I don't have to see it to believe it. I know it's there. I have learned to dance in the rain. I know that the rainbows come after the storm. If you're new, keep coming back. If you're old, please stay, because I know that I need you. We have a disease that in the end forces us to seek help. We are fortunate that we are given only one choice, one last chance. We must break the triangle of self-obsession. I've heard two things, the best two things since I've been here. Cindy, grow up. It says that we must break the triangle of self-obsession. We must grow up or die. I'm an addict named Cindy. Thanks for allowing me to share.